is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton, and you hear the background noise. We are broadcasting live from the 41st annual Atlanta Home Show at the Cobb Galleria Center at 2 Galleria Parkway. Everybody knows where the Galleria is, the Cobb Galleria Center.
By the Brave Stadium? Right, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the one. By the Brave Stadium. Easy to get to off 75 and 285. That was the voice of Josh Ketter-Heinrich. You know, they asked me in the show office how to spell your last name. I said, he just goes by Josh.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just Josh.
Yeah.
Your kids, do they know how to spell their last name?
They're getting there. One's 5 years old, and he's getting there, and it's amazing. I think he'll be ahead of the class on all other spelling things because of the dedication.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Because
14 letters. I mean, he's covering most of the alphabet.
Is it 14 letters?
14 letters.
You need more spaces. I mean, I'm sure
no dashes either. No dashes. No cheating. There's no dashes.
On standardized tests?
No, I ran out of I only got to the 12 letters on standardized, and then I was 3 steps behind the entire class. They were on to the other options on the test while I was still finishing my last name. And I had to raise my hand and say, teacher, hold on a second, I'm still on number 2, filling out your name. So
I'd be like Ketter. Okay. Or Heinrich.
There you go.
Okay. So we are talking about refinishing your basement, your kitchen, your bathroom, what have you. But first, we've got something very important we need to do. We need to give away the Arrow Exterminators, my exterminators, by the way, weekend prize pack. And it's a pair of tickets to see Earth, Wind, and Fire with special guests. Guess who?
Who?
Sheila E.
No way.
Yes. July the 24th at Cadence Bank I hope I pronounced that right. Cadence Bank Amphitheater at Chastain Park.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's lovely. So that is going to go to caller number 3 to 404-741-0750. That's 404-741-0750. We'll get the Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets to see and with special guest Sheila E. Anything at Chastain Park, I'll go see.
Amazing.
The Teletubbies at Chastain Park.
I'm going to baseball at Chastain Park, NYO, after this. So.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. It's great playing baseball.
I won't say where I'm going, but I'm going to go see my son play a little lacrosse.
Oh,
hopefully
nice.
He'll score another goal for me.
Good luck.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to the phone lines. We've got several lines open, 404-872-0750. If you have a question for Josh about remodeling kitchens, baths, basements, what have you. That's 404-872-0750. Last week, I gave out my cell phone.
Anybody call?
Out, yes.
I thought you were dating somebody. What's going on?
I know.
You're giving that out on air?
Well, you know, you got to have a plan B.
It's always good to have a plan B.
Always need a plan B.
And C and D and E,
yes,
I'm sure that
you never know what's going to happen. Okay, no, just kidding. Okay, let's go to the phone lines, and I think it's with TJ. TJ in Atlanta, you're on WSB. How are you today?
Hi, Belinda. Hi, Josh. I'll just stick with
sweetheart.
Josh, if that's okay.
Yes,
yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I have a question. I'm interested in doing some work in my kitchen and bath. I am in the process of selling, and this new thing, this peel and stick tile, stacked stone, metal,
like the foil that goes on the
backsplash.
Yeah.
Well, it's actual metal and stacked stone backsplash, but it's peel and stick.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, considering that I am in the process of selling, my agent really doesn't want me to do too much, but it's really
you don't want to put anything. You don't want to put anything in the house you might not get back, so you want to find some affordable upgrades without breaking the bank.
So what is your opinion about that? Is it something I should, bother with?
It depends on what you're looking at. If what you're going over looks bad, there's holes, pit marks, whatever it might be, and you lay a couple pieces down and you think it looks pretty good, don't lie to yourself when you put this stuff together. Say, yeah, I did. It looks pretty good. Like, take a step back and say, would I want to buy this house?
Now, Josh, do you grout this tile?
No, on the stuff. Did you watch the Today Show this morning? By chance? Are you there?
I didn't.
Oh, okay, because this solution was on the Today Show, actually. But no, you don't have to grout, because grouting would be a little outside of a DIY and cause problems. So the joints go together really tight on that tile. The foil, again, if it's metal, I've seen that on some backsplashes. I've seen that on ceilings as well, and I thought it looked pretty good. This peel and stick floor, if the floor isn't smooth that you're going over, you will see the indentions and dips, and, you know, just depending how thick that floor is, it can come through your new floor. So if you've got a real problem with some, you know, scratches, burn marks in the floor, or something along those lines, I would try it, because it's pretty inexpensive. Then take a step back and see if you like it, because I think a lot of times you can pull it off if it's not working for you.
Okay, great. So I'm going to try it in the kitchen and bathroom.
Just buy a couple pieces. Don't go crazy with it. Put it up. Take a step back. Have a second opinion, because everybody loves their work more than it should, right? You're like, well,
get your friend who's really honest with you.
Okay. Yes.
So we have homeowners who are honest with us when we do work, so we can't. You gotta have somebody who's gonna be honest with you when you do the work. But do a couple pieces. Don't go crazy. Make sure they have enough in stock so you don't run out. Okay. Like, don't get 80 pieces and you need 100. But try a couple samples, put it down, and see what you think, and then go for it.
Wow. Okay, great. I'm going to try it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Okay. So we have a line that's waiting to be screened, and we'll get you up as soon as possible. If you want to give us a call, 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. You were talking to a caller, but a lady just walked by with her dog in a stroller.
So cute.
So not cute.
A dog in the stroller. I thought you meant a dog. I thought it was a pretty dog and a baby in a stroller. Okay,
no,
the dog. Okay.
It just cracks me up.
See, what people need to get down to this home show and see that.
I mean, the people watching here is incredible. Okay, my computer's going wacky. I think it's because there are so many people. Blowing up the internet here at the home show that... but you can give us a call. We'll get you on. We've got Lorenzo here on the scene, getting my electronics back going. But in the meantime, so how do you hire a contractor? I mean, you know, you have the guys that knock on the door. You have the people that are on Craigslist. I've had my own experience with Craigslist lately. It didn't go so well.
Did it go well?
Didn't go well.
All types of places.
Seriously, you know, they
a mailer, a flyer, or a reference, or even
Or your friend says,
or a truck that drives by. Yeah.
Exactly. So, what is the best way to hire a contractor to get the best results?
Well, I think a lot of times, of course, the first meeting and finding out if some basic things, you know, business license, insurance, you know, do they have a referral or somebody you've seen the work or heard about the work is important. But I've even seen trouble with, you know, tree people. Hey, they did my neighbor's house, then they did my house, they did three of the trees, and they left. So I think having the reputation is very important. I think it helps having a, you know, brick and mortar place. Like, if you got a problem with them, are you...
go
into their basement. Do you know their address?
You seen Richard Belcher on Channel 2? He always goes to the brick and mortar and you know, it's closed up and they're gone.
That's possible, too. But it's still a little bit harder. That's usually after 6 months, but at least you found them, right?
Yeah.
So you've got that. Again, I think the insurance and referrals and references. There's a lot of good independent contractors out there, but, you know, I love finding them. A lot of times they can be backlogged, or if they're only one or two people doing the work, what happens if your job goes over, the job before them goes over? So you got to be selective when you're talking to them. A lot of great guys, independents out there that I work with even at sometimes, but they got to make sure they can manage their schedule. If one person is doing everything, you know, design, getting your permits, Then they've got one helper. You know, a lot of times you're not the team behind him. He is the team.
Yeah.
So you don't want to spread somebody too thin because it seems like a good deal. You don't want to pay them, you know, too little.
Yeah,
you know, watch
so
a little
bit.
They've got to be
some
motivated.
Some money for supplies and material. How do you work that?
So you need to get an idea. You know, cabinets are going to be extremely expensive. Tile's going to be extremely expensive. You know, so that should be a pretty decent material draw when they're putting that together. So what's the front end work? Are they going to get permits? Are they helping you with surveys? You know, there's a lot of upfront cost that you might not even realize, but you don't want to get too far. You don't want to go past, I would say, possibly 50%, you know, when you're starting out. And it also depends on the size of the job. If it's labor intensive, it's not as big a, you know, deposit. If it's more material intensive and you're getting brand new custom cabinets and things like that, there's a lot of material, a lot of time that is going to go into that before they even step foot on your site. Just getting that job ready can be a 2 or 3 week process of planning, again, permitting, construction documents. There's a whole line that, again, most homeowners don't even know what's going on with that. But if you're going to do it right, each contractor is putting in a lot of time and effort before they even start your project. And watch one that's able to start maybe the next week, too, every once in a while. It's like a restaurant. If every time you go to the restaurant,
available.
7 o'clock on a Saturday, can I get in? Absolutely, we got seven tables. You know, I would be, So, again, some contractors, things open up, even guys I work with. They might, hey, I had a cancellation, hey, it rained, hey, this happened or whatever, but be a little careful when you're like, hey, how's tomorrow? If you give me this amount of money, I can be here tomorrow, can be a little anxious. And be wary of the online reviews, not just in contracting. I've noticed, I swear, there's companies paying or they're doing their own reviews sometimes, but that's not the stamp, you know, of approval always. It's a great place to start because clients are passionate and will share with you, but it's not always the end all. You know, see if there's a project you can look at, or again, go to their showroom or their place of business and see how they're running that. And do you like the person you're talking to? Do you feel comfortable
or
creepy?
Do you click with them? I mean, because you're going to spend a lot of time with that person. Do you communicate
with
them?
Our projects, we have relationships with clients from 3 to 6 months of during a stressful time in their life. So it really starts with a strong relationship with the person you're working with and designing. And are they understanding of your needs is, I think, critical with the contracting.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines and speak with, I'm going to butcher this name. I apologize. Sumil in Suwannee?
Yeah, hey, Belinda. Sunil,
Is that even close?
Sunil, that's correct.
Yay me. Okay, you're on the air. What can we help you with?
My question is, I have a basement, and I just heard you guys talking about, like, in Georgia, we have a lot of unfinished basements. So my house is about 3 to 4 years old, and it's an unfinished basement, and we want to finish it up. One of the options I'm really looking for is someone to come and help me plan out what can go where, how can I lay it out, what kind of finishes will look, and, you know, just give me, hey, these are the stuff that you need to buy, these are the stuff that needs to do, this is how your basement would look like, and not really give me an estimate to finish the work.
Okay, you know what, I wasn't paying attention. I got so excited about the home show, I wasn't paying attention to the clock. Let me put you on hold. We'll get you in touch with Josh. You're listening to Atlanta Living, broadcasting from the Atlanta Home Show at the Cobb Galleria Center. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews, our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, food writer for Encore Magazine and his own website, brightsandsights.net. So, David, what's happening around town?
Well, the biggest news, this just came out about a week ago, is that the Giving Kitchen, which is a local food service charity that started here in Atlanta, has won the James Beard Foundation's Humanitarian of the Year Award.
Phenomenal.
That's like the Nobel Prize for restaurant-related organizations. The Giving Kitchen is an amazing story. It has helped so many people in the food service industry. It was started by Jen Heidinger Kendrick. She and her husband Ryan were planning to open their own restaurant when Ryan was diagnosed with stage 4 gallbladder cancer. He ended up passing. But Jen went on to open that restaurant, which is called the Staple House, which is also nominated for a Beard Award. Just an absolutely incredible story.
Yeah.
So congratulations to the Giving Kitchen for this unbelievable honor to win the James Beard Award for Humanitarian of the Year. Congratulations. So this is really cool on a different subject. Our buddy Kevin Rathbun has decided to throw a dinner that he is calling the Feast of Thrones. It is Sunday, April 7th at Rathbun's Restaurant. It is going to be a 10-course dinner and viewing party for Game of Thrones, which is the first episode of the last season. Start is going to kick off on Sunday, April 7th. The dinner's from 6:30 to 10 p.m. I have a link up at my website, bitesandsights.net, if you're interested in that, and you can buy your tickets there as well. And then finally, one of my favorite restaurants in the city, Atlas, which is in the St. Regis.
Going there tonight.
No.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, I'm so jealous. So Atlas is hands down probably my favorite fine dining experience in the city. They are having a Louis the 13th cognac 3-course pairing dinner. Have you ever had Louis the 13th cognac?
No, I have not.
Have you ever been to a bar and seen this gorgeous crystal?
Yes.
It's always at the top shelf. And it's always sort of in the middle of the top shelf. It is the kind of pinnacle.
Crown jewel.
It is the crown jewel. The bottle itself is pure crystal. It's worth about $300, $400.
Yeah.
So this is some of the most exquisite cognac you can get. They are doing a tasting dinner. It's $395 a person. And that's going to be at this coming Thursday at Atlas in the St. Regis. I have a link up at bitesandsights.net if you want to go and shoot for the moon and just blow your palate away and your mind. So absolutely. But I think you'll probably have a little bit more of a restrained experience tonight.
Probably so. Yeah. But I'll be eyeing that up there on the top shelf.
You know, we all need to shoot for things. So I'll have all this and more up at bitesandsights.net. And you can follow me. My handle is bitesandsights, B-I-T-E-S, the letter N, S-I-T-E-S. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, the whole nine.
Well, I can't wait to see what you bring to the table next week, David. You've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. We are broadcasting live from the 41st Annual Atlanta Home Show at the Cobb Galleria Center. Easy to get to, folks. It is 75-285. It's right there. Parking is $5, I believe. And this everything is under one roof that you could possibly do to the inside or outside of your home. And I don't want to take any more time away from my next guest because I'm a huge fan. I'm a groupie. Clint Harp. And that name rings a bell because you've seen him on the show Fixer Upper. And that's with Chip and Joanna Gaines. And I'm like, whoo, I've got Clint Harp beside me. And Clint makes all those gorgeous tables that Joanna comes up with in her head and scribbles down ideas on a cocktail napkin. So, Clint, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Belinda.
Okay, this mic is not on, guys. Let's see. We're having problems with Clint's mic. It's not on. Okay, talk again for me. Okay, we're still not on.
You're like, there we go. There I am. Hey, I'm here.
Welcome to the show, Clint.
Welcome.
Okay. So,
hey, thanks for having me, Belinda.
Absolutely.
Really and truly. Bumpy start there, but here we go.
But now we're smoothing out.
There we go.
Okay. So, you build gorgeous tables.
Thank you.
And other furniture, but you're best known for your tables.
Yes.
But you didn't start in woodworking.
No.
I could keep you forever because I feel like I've known you because I've watched you for years.
Yeah.
But how did you get into this business of craftsmanship and woodworking?
Right.
because you didn't start in that business?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to genes, really. And, you know, my genes for building came from my grandfather and an Atlanta guy himself, Verner Martin. And I grew up watching him build homes from the ground up. He was a guy that didn't really have any formal training in building houses. He just took my two uncles up to like Virginia, and my uncles David and Dean would rent a tandem bicycle and just kind of ride around these towns in, you know, colonial Virginia, and my granddad would take a camera and a piece of paper and, you know, and a ruler and a tape measure, and he would just study these, you know, techniques of building that these colonial builders would, you know, use on these houses. And he would take notes, he would take pictures, and then he would go back to Georgia and he would use those, you know, techniques and ideas, and he would build homes here in Georgia. And that's, as I grew up, once I was born, and he was well into that, and I would see that. I was around that. And around 10 or 11 years old, he would put tools in my hands and put me on tools, you know, like, you know, motorized, you know, big giant tools that that I had no business being on. And
you didn't just play with a backhoe. You got to drive. Yeah,
exactly. That's right. That's exactly right. And that's where I just kind of got started. And for whatever reason, I gravitated towards him and I understood what he was doing, and it made sense to me. I wanted to do it. And so, you know, fast forward years down the road, I'm a 23, 24-year-old married guy, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And I get let go from my first job. I become a janitor. I become a youth minister. I've become a missionary in Europe. I do part-time work back in Dallas. I do all these different things. Then I end up as a medical sales guy in Houston. And I feel like I'm, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do, making a lot of money, thankfully, with a good job, but I'm miserable and I hate my life. And I just tell Kelly, I've got to do something about this because this is not what I want to do with my life. And I had to come to grips with this idea that seemed stupid in my mind, that what I really wanted to do was build things like my granddad. That's what I loved and I wanted to do. And I wanted to build furniture. And it sounded really stupid, you know. But eventually, after meeting with a mentor for 2 years, literally in Houston, it was the third and fourth years that we lived there in Houston. I met with this guy and eventually decided I was going to quit my job and go for the dream. And that's what I did. And the rest is kind of history.
Well, there's a lot of history to what you said, because your grandfather
That's right.
actually built a house that Neil Bortz lived in years.
That's exactly right. It was the house on the Chattahoochee River, just off of Spalding Drive, and he built this house. We called it the Roost,
we called it the River Lodge.
Yes, right. And it was the Roost. My granddad and my grandmom, they called each other Buzzards, so it was the Buzzards Roost. And he built this house with my older uncle Howard and my younger uncles, and they all pitched in, and he had a crew, and they built this house from the ground up. And in fact, when I was 11 years old, I was born here in Atlanta, but at 3 we moved to Asheville, North Carolina, and I lived there for 8 years. But then we moved back to Atlanta, and that was our first place, you know, where we lived, was with my grandparents in that house on the Chattahoochee River.
Well, I've been in that house many times. It's phenomenal.
It's a beautiful house, isn't it?
It's beautiful, so well built, so unusual.
Yeah, it is.
You can tell the craftsmanship because it was the first, I think it was the first house on that street.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My granddad owned all that land, and then he started selling it off. So my grandmother, her maiden name is Calloway Gardens.
Oh, wow.
Now, we somehow just barely missed that inheritance.
The trickle-down theory is not quite.
That's right. But my grandmother was someone that came from a family where they did have some money. And so my grandfather took that, and they started a business. They made cardboard boxes, actually, here in Atlanta. I believe the company was called Martin Packaging, if I'm correct. And so that was their company. And my granddad, you know, he then went and bought a bunch of land. And that land was the land that he built that
tremendous
house on.
I love the connection that we have with the River Lodge house.
Sure.
So how did you find your way from your big corporate job, Clint, to the show Fixer Upper? Because you're just the guy that wants to make furniture.
Sure. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you have to realize in life that, things don't happen by chance, I think. I think that things are meant to happen, mm-hmm. you know, and you're never going to know if something could happen unless you actually try. And so Kelly and I decided to, you know, go for this dream, and I was going to jump into a garage and start building furniture. And, you know, in the midst of that, she decided she wanted to go back and get her master's. And so she gets on the computer and finds a degree at Baylor University, our old alma mater back in mm-hmm. Waco, Texas. Now, we had no idea where we were going to move. We just knew we didn't want to live in Houston anymore, and we were going to go for this dream. And so she gets a full ride to Baylor, and so we moved to Waco. And while we're in Waco, I got to figure out what I'm going to do. And I had this idea to go and volunteer for Habitat for Humanity. And the reason is yeah. because my grandmother, Ann Calloway Martin, actually used to work for President Jimmy Carter here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And she worked on his second presidential campaign and also volunteered for him and helped start the Carter Presidential Library. You know, when that was all getting going, she was a part of that.
Impressive.
And then she ended up being hired by him at the Carter Library. And she was a greeter. And so, like, when anybody, the dignitaries from all over the world were coming into town, she would be the one, she'd be the first person they met.
Oh, that's incredible.
And my grandmother was an incredibly sharp, smart person and just a wonderful, wonderful person. And in fact, before she died, about a month or two before she died, President Carter called her in the hospital just to say goodbye.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And that just meant, you know, so much to sure. my family, of course, you know. Well, as if hearing from my grandmother on the other side of the grave, when we were moving to Waco from Houston, literally I felt this, like, feeling in my gut, like, go volunteer for Habitat for Humanity. So I go and I start volunteering for Habitat when we moved to Waco, like it's a full-time job, yeah. literally Monday through Friday.
All in.
And all in. And because I didn't have a shop and I didn't know what I was going to do. And Kelly's getting her master's. And we go over and have some dinner with some friends one night. And the husband, he says, you know, hey, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm volunteering for Habitat right now, but eventually I want to build furniture. That's my goal. And he's like, well, do you have a shop? And I said, well, no, but eventually, hopefully I will. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, when you're ready to get a shop, you should call this friend of mine. He and his wife have a company here in town. They're really cool, and they know a lot of people, and they're just kind of like, you know, connectors and, yeah. and you know, whatever. And so I said, great, I'll give him a call. And he said, all right, well, give him a call. His name's Chip. And I said, okay, I'll call this guy Chip. He said, yeah, Chip Gaines, just give him a call. I said, okay, great. So
he didn't have a TV show.
No, this was just this guy in town. So I called and left this guy a message. He never called me back. That's okay, no big deal, whatever. I'm just, you know, trying. That's yeah. as you do. He's a busy guy. He's got a life. 4 months later, I'm still in Waco volunteering. Kelly's at, you know, Baylor getting her master's. And we hit rock bottom. Like, we run out of money. And I'm like, man, this is a dumb idea. Like, I yeah. really should not have done this. And I called Kelly one day and I said, this was bad. I got to go find a job. And she's like, well, before you do that, let's go hang out at the park with the kids. I said, okay, great. So she came and picked me up. We went to the park. And after the park, we got back in the car. I turned on the car, and that light came on that said, you got to go get gas. We went to the gas station, and there we are, and we're just depressed, and I'm thinking, where am I going to go get a job? And this black truck pulls in front of me that says Magnolia on the side, and it parked right on the other side of the pump as me, and this guy gets out, and I think, maybe I should go talk to them and see if I can find that guy Chip I was trying to call 4 months ago, you know?
Yeah.
And I get out, and I say, hey, my name's Clint. I was looking for this guy named Chip. And he goes, oh, actually, I'm Chip. I'm Chip Gaines. And
that's a God thing.
It's crazy, isn't it? And that was only like 7 months after that meeting at the gas station
yeah.
that we were all filming a pilot together for HGTV.
That is amazing. All right, we're going to have to stop there. We're going to delve more into how this all transpired, and you became such a star on Fixer Upper. You're listening to Atlanta Living, broadcasting live from the 41st Annual Atlanta Home Show. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Clint Harp from Fixer Upper right after this.
Check back often for breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts all weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. This is my last segment here at the Home Show at the Cobb Galleria Center. But they'll be open and taking you through the halls of all the wonderful things that are under this roof till 8 o'clock tonight. Sitting beside me is Clint Harp, and you recognize that name from Fixer Upper. and woodwork, and he's written this great book called Handcrafted, A Woodworker's Story, and his story is so touching. And we got up to the point of where you started filming the pilot for Fixer Upper, and it just, and you're in the, what season now, Clint?
Well, so we filmed the pilot, and then we ended up filming five seasons, and that's when Chip and Joanna said, all right, no more Fixer Upper.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, but then they came back, you know, about 3 or 4 months ago, 5 months ago, and, you know, they're actually now coming back, which is awesome news. Yeah, yeah. So they're coming back with their own network, and everybody's super excited, and, you know, whatever they do, they, I tell you, they put everything into it, and they make it the best it can be. They're pretty amazing, and so we're all excited to see what they're about to come up with.
Yeah. Well, you are so amazing and so talented and creative. I mean, it just cracks me up sometimes in the earlier seasons. Joanna would literally come in there with, you know, a piece of paper out of her purse or a cocktail napkin and scribble, Clint, I want this table to have a beveled edge and this and that. And you're like, well, I hope I got this right, Joanna.
But you know what's funny is that it literally is exactly how it happened. I mean, people ask me that at these home shows and wherever I go, they'll say, so did she really just walk in and like sketch out something? Or surely you had like this, you know, like drawing on a computer with, you know,
SCAD program.
Yes, right. And it's like, no, that literally is how we did it. And because what people didn't see is for a while before the camera started rolling, Joanna and I were actually building a relationship together as designer and furniture builder.
Yeah.
You know, because she was coming in and asking me to make stuff. And so I knew what she liked, and we had, you know, kind of developed a style almost together. And so, oh, I like this background music. This is kind of fun. This makes this interview even better.
I know.
But yeah, so we kind of worked together and started, you know, kind of developed this relationship. And so by the time the TV came around and the cameras were rolling, I just knew what she was wanting. And so she really could just like sketch it out on a piece of paper, and then we would just go for it, and I'd build it, and a couple weeks later I'd show up and there it is.
And the rest is history. Clint, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Belinda.
Absolutely.
This is great.
Absolutely. Monica Perez is next. Stay tuned.